Yes, gentlemen, you are seeing it correctly. If you are looking at your screen, I have ice pop shark koozies.
Wow.
Very nice.
And Brandon, if you will notice, this is orange just for you. We will make sure that you get this.
Great. Awesome.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. Coming at you every week to talk all the things that make us love sport. The games, the rivalries, and of course, the personalities. We are stoked that you are listening.
We believe that you're more than listeners. To quote Brian Kelly, you're family. And we're glad that you're listening to us.
Absolutely.
Hey, welcome back, sports fans, to another March edition of the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. Thank you for joining us. We've got a lot of basketball to talk about tonight. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Darren, but we are in different places. Darren,
again,
you're down in Bossier City, Louisiana.
That's right. Usually I'm the one traveling if there's any kind of different locations, but this time you've been traveling, actually for the second week in a row. So I'm here in the Arklatex hanging, trying to keep everything calm and collected, maybe. We'll go with that. Sure. Calm and collected. How's that?
Sounds like an opening line from As the World Turns, Darren.
Speaking of 2 weeks in a row, this is your second soap opera reference. I mean, are we going to break into, like, you know, Days of Our Lives at some point here or something? Oh, I don't.
You want to talk about UC Santa Barbara right now?
Days of Our Lives, All My Children, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Hey, we are also joined by the Villanova guy, Rusty Beckham, back for a second week in a row. Good to have you.
I'm
on
always
again,
glad
Rusty.
To be with you guys. Always glad to make the professional picks that no one else is making.
That's well said.
Well done. Well done. Well, let's get into some news and notes for this week. We're going to start with the XFL, and congratulations to the DC Defenders, the only remaining undefeated team in the XFL at 5-0. So great job, DC. Golf clap, everybody. Yay, XFL.
Yay.
How many more days to the USFL?
Oh, we're under 30. It is not long. We're getting closer every day.
And Memphis has a USFL team, don't they?
Yes, that's a change this year. I believe it was Tampa that dropped their USFL team, and so they moved that to Memphis. And Memphis is actually going to be one of the hubs, if I'm not mistaken, where a couple of teams will play this year.
As we were driving through Memphis today, we saw billboards for USFL Memphis.
That's awesome. I'm glad they're advertising it. It's going to be interesting to have a totally new city and a new team all, you know, pop up at the same time and in that second season. So, but Memphis has done well in the past with stuff like that, so it'll be good.
And it said for season tickets, it had your picture, and it said one call, that call.
Well, I did agree to let them do that. So that's
Well, moving over to college basketball, where we're going to spend the rest of this podcast. We have two big coaching hires to announce today. Rick Pitino is leaving Iona to move to St. John's on what's rumored to be a 6-year deal, somewhere around $20 million plus. Pitino is 70 years old. If this is accurate, a 6-year deal, he's going to be 76 when the deal expires. Pretty big news for St. John's as they continue to try to recover their glory years from the 80s. And what do you think about that, Darren?
Well, you know, we talked last week about Rick Pitino and what he brings to the table, even with his shortcomings and the difficulties that he's had in his professional career, which are unfortunate for him and everyone involved. But he brings a lot to the table. But it'll be interesting having him back in the Big East. So I wanted to bounce that off for Rusty. Rusty, what are your thoughts?
I'm excited to have Coach Pitino back coaching a major program. Doubly excited that it's in the Big East. You know, I hope that he has, you know, I guess paid for his sins, whatever those ended up, you know, I don't know that we'll ever know exactly what all of them were, but,
right.
You know, I hope he will run a clean program at St. John's, and man, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Having a good coach like that in the Big East is something I look forward to.
It's one of those things that elevates the whole league.
Yep.
you know, I figure if Clint Eastwood can still make movies at 90 years old, why can't Rick Pitino still coach at 70 right. or 76?
Absolutely.
Some other big coaching news also in the Big East is Ed Cooley leaving Providence to go to Georgetown. I believe Ed Cooley is a lifelong Providence guy, and he's leaving the only place he's ever been, going to Georgetown. So, Darren, Rusty, you guys chime in. What are you thinking about this move?
Well, first of all, let me say he's even more disloyal than you were last week to Providence. Obviously, if he's leaving, it's the only place he's ever been. I just wanted to throw that out.
You think so? You think that's?
Somewhere is a meeting where the words were said, if only Ben Brewster would have picked us. Guarantee if that happened. Guarantee. Yep. But I think it's an interesting move. I don't know how much sense I can make of it, honestly. I mean, Georgetown is an incredible, from a historical perspective, Georgetown's an incredible program. So I guess maybe that's the thing, but it's kind of an intriguing move to me. What do you think, Rusty?
Yeah, and like the Providence, I think it was the AD came out today, kind of chastising Georgetown for poaching another Big East coach.
Yeah,
but that was kind of against the gentleman's agreement, I guess, that he considered the Big East schools to have. I wonder, you know, did Ed Cooley think that there was just nowhere to go from Providence in Providence except for down? Did he achieve everything that could be achieved in Rhode Island? And was he ready to maybe to see? I guess he's at some level he sees Georgetown as a move up. And I think on his radio show, either this morning or yesterday, he said something to the effect of, you know, sometimes you just need a challenge.
Interesting. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch. There's definitely some big changes happening all at once in the Big East, especially.
Well, for years, Georgetown, they were the cream of the crop in college basketball, had some phenomenal teams, and maybe Ed Cooley's the guy to bring them back to prominence.
And they almost won the championship in 1985. But there was – what team was it? There was one team that beat them in the finals in the championship game.
I'm struggling. Could you remind me? I'm not sure. Would you?
I don't think the coach was Jay Wright. It was it Raleigh Massa?
Something like that.
Yep. You were close. You were close. What, since we're bringing up teams that start with a V, that start with a V that played Georgetown, as a Vanderbilt fan, I am obligated, since we were talking about Georgetown, to say Jeff Green traveled. Vanderbilt fans understand that immediately. It absolutely happened. You cannot dispute it. 2007, Jeff Green traveled. Anyway, let's move on. I'm good.
Darren, I'm a little concerned how you hold on to things for so long.
It was a shot at the Elite Eight, and Jeff Green traveled. That's all I'm saying.
We've got much more college basketball to talk about, but let's pause for This Week in Sports History.
March 1934, Babe Diedrichson Zaharias pitched a total of 4 innings in 3 Major League spring training exhibition games. On March 20th, she gave up 1 walk and no hits in 1 inning for the Philadelphia Athletics against the Brooklyn Dodgers. On March 22nd, she pitched the first inning for the St. Louis Cardinals against the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox scored 3 runs against Diedrichson in the inning. On March 25th, she played for the New Orleans Pelicans against the Cleveland Indians, pitching 2 scoreless innings and lining out in her only plate appearance. Diedrichson gained world fame in track and field and was an All-American in basketball. Diedrichson is the only track and field athlete, male or female, to win individual Olympic medals in separate running, throwing, and jumping events.
Oh, thank you.
First two rounds of the NCAA tournament are in the books. We are in the Sweet 16, and like you, we've got some observations from watching the flurry of games that began last Tuesday, and we went from 68 teams to 16 teams. And so, Rusty, Darren, and I, we have some insights, our own personal thoughts on some things that stuck out to us, some takeaways we have from the first two rounds. And Rusty, you're our guest, so I'm gonna let you go first. What were two takeaways that you have from the first two rounds?
So a couple of things that I just wanted to hit on were just the relative conference records. How some of the conferences that were supposed to be the elite conferences don't have elite schedules up to this point. The SEC is 9-5. That's pretty good. The Big East actually has the best overall record as far as percentage of wins. They're 7-2. The Big 12, kind of a big disappointment. 7-5. Purdue, number one seed out in the first round. And by the way, I heard somebody say this earlier. I went back and checked it, and it's right. This is the third year in a row that Purdue's been knocked out by a double-digit seed.
Yep.
Never happened before.
And the ACC, 5-4. My goodness. Like, it's just these heavy-hitter conferences not faring well. And, you know, is it the transfer portal? Is it NIL? Is it just this is a weird year? I don't know. But then another thing is like kind of playing off of that, the teams that you typically see in the Sweet 16, mm-hmm. not there. We've got four previous championship teams. Was it Arkansas, UCLA, Michigan State, and UConn? And the other 12 teams have never won the championship. So we've got some fresh blood in there. I think that's good for college basketball.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely think those are spot on points. It makes it a little more exciting to see some of these other teams in there.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Darren, what about you? What were two takeaways that you have?
Well, I will piggyback just a little bit on what Rusty was saying about the conference records and kind of what was anticipated. And I alluded to this last week, and I feel like it's undeniable in my opinion. And that's all it is an opinion. But I think the point Rusty made about the ACC sitting there with five wins, four losses, there's only one ACC team left in the tournament. The ACC bias is so obvious to me from the tournament, especially from the selection committee. And not only that, you can look at it from the media and the top 25 polls week in and week out. To me, the ACC bias is just so glaring. You know, we talked about the coaching hires in the Big East elevating the entire league. I think sometimes, or I think it's obvious, because Duke and North Carolina are in the ACC, there's this broad assumption that everybody in the ACC is good when it comes to especially media, selection committee. And I think it's obvious that it is a bias. And the way this year has gone, it's an incorrect bias. I don't think you can show anything that's happened in this tournament that proves ACC deserved the teams or the seedings that those teams got. And it was an obvious bias to me. Again, my opinion, and $1.49 to get you a McDonald's coffee, but that's my opinion. And I think that the way the brackets have fallen out show that. I think it's been very obvious this year, even maybe more so than in years past. And since I'm already on media, I'll go ahead and move on to my second one. You know, Kansas State, here they are. They're sitting here in the Sweet 16. And preseason, by the media, they were picked at the Big 12 basketball media. I think in basketball, it's just a day, right? They don't have days. And most of the time, it's just media day. In the preseason media day poll, Kansas State was picked to be the dead last worst team in the Big 12. Yet here we are with the Kansas State, what was supposed to be the worst team in the Big 12, sitting in the Sweet 16. It you know, especially for us having a podcast, we have to have preseason polls because we need something to talk about. But people get so worked up over the preseason polls, and it's just they're so useless. The only other thing I would say is I think this once again just shows how useless preseason polls are. So I hope at some point they stop having the weight that they do, because there are a lot of people that ride through the first half of a season that never show anything on the football field or the floor in basketball, that are there in those top 25 polls strictly because they started out the preseason there. And I think that's silly. And hopefully something like this just further accentuates that point and can maybe make a little bit of a difference, because good for Kansas State to be picked dead last and be sitting here in the Sweet 16.
I want to accentuate the fact that you use the word accentuates.
Well, I'm already starting off sounding better than I did last week. I've definitely stepped up the game. So
no Three Stooges reference.
There's not. I will not. You know, Mo is the bald one. Larry has the straight hair. Curly is, you know, whatever. I don't even want to. Whatever happened.
Well, my two takeaways. I'm going to keep them in the SEC. And the first one has to do with the disturbing pattern that we see from Kentucky. John Calipari regularly gets some of the best recruiting classes, the best ball players, at least on paper, at year in and year out. And when you go back the last 4 or 5 years, he's consistently getting beat in the tournament by teams that on paper are less talented. And I think in a state where basketball is a religion, and that's not a joke, it's a religion to folks in Kentucky, this is really disturbing. I think we need to look at what's going on with Kentucky, what's happening with Calipari. The talent's not a question. What's happening here? It's not working. And that's something that I think Kentucky fans are already talking about. So my second takeaway is the Tennessee Volunteers, who limped into this tournament with a 4-7 record in their final 11 games. Is that right? No, they lost four out of their last seven. That's right. And so to help me with this, since I'm in Tennessee, I'm joined by Brandon Lack, one of our regular listeners on the podcast. And you can't see him, but he's decked out in orange tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So Brandon,
he showed up Tennessee ready to play. I'll say that.
So thanks for joining the show. So as you look at this Tennessee team, are they overachieving right now? Are they doing about what you thought? And you know,
and I wouldn't call it overachieving. It's just a testament to Rick Barnes, first of all, in the culture that he set there. Tennessee is playing hard-nosed, gritty Tennessee basketball right now. They've faced a lot of adversity this year, you know, rising up to number one in the country, then promptly having some really bad losses there. And then, speaking of bad losses, you lose Ziegler at one of the last games of the year, underperform in the SEC tournament. But, you know, here they are. They're peaking at the right moment, and they're going to make a splash, I think.
What did you think about the win over Duke? Were you impressed by that?
Oh man, yeah, that was impressive. You know the previous game against Louisiana, I was a little nervous after that. I mean, Louisiana hung in there with them, but we saw Tennessee's true colors come out against Duke. Just how they have that next man up mentality, and I mean, Kamwa just came out of, I hope I'm saying that right, he came out of nowhere with like, what, 29 points, 27 points, something like that. I mean, it just shows the true character and the toughness of that team. And I think that'll carry them a long ways.
And that really, that bothered Rusty. Rusty's a huge Duke fan.
Right. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, see, right. That's
funny. I mourn the loss of Coach K from the NCAA coaching community so much. Right.
And, you know, Tennessee's, you know, they've kind of – I don't want to overlook Florida Atlantic by any means. I mean, that is a great team, a big seven-foot-one center they have. He's golden, I think, something like that. He's a great player. And number 15, I can't think of his name. He's good too. But it seems like Tennessee's got a pretty smooth path to the Elite Eight, at least. Looking forward to what they can do Thursday night, and you know, then they'll have to face what, Kansas State or Michigan State. So we talked about Kansas State a minute ago. I mean, that's going to be a tough game for Michigan State, and I don't know about.
So you Tennessee. See you see them going to the Elite Eight?
I do.
You
yeah.
see them going
so,
further?
Like what I was trying to say was, I mean, they're going to have to get past a tough Kansas State or tournament Izzo, who is a beast.
Who's that?
Tournament Izzo is what I said.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but he can bite you. He can really get you in the tournament.
Will you pick against Tom Izzo?
I don't think so, no. Maybe not.
Select few of us that are brave enough.
Right.
Select few.
I think Izzo might gut one out against Kansas State, but I don't know. I don't want to look over Florida Atlantic, but that'll be a tough game. But if Tennessee plays like they did against Duke, then it should be a smooth path to the Elite Eight, like I said.
Well, I do appreciate Rick Barnes. I think he's a terrific coach.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I appreciate the fact that when his team wins to get in the Sweet 16, he doesn't take his shirt off.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That was crazy. Man, I couldn't believe what I was seeing right then.
Well, let's move on and let's make some picks, guys. You guys ready to make some picks for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight?
Before we do that, I have a surprise for the group. Since we have two special guests on this week, I have prizes for both guest and host. Yes, gentlemen, you are seeing it correctly. If you are looking at your screen, I have Ice Pop Shark koozies.
Wow.
Very nice. And Brandon, if you will notice, this is orange just for you. We will make sure that you get this.
Great. Awesome.
I have Ice Pop Shark koozies for everyone. How's that?
I'm getting choked up, Darren. Well, you know, Rusty is the creator of the Ice Pop.
That's right.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but my invention is paying for this podcast right now.
Brought to you by the Ice Pop Shark, Ice Pop Koozie guest line.
Well, let's look at our brackets now, and that's painful for a lot of us, right?
Yeah.
But it's been a great tournament so far. And so as we move down to our Sweet 16 games, let's start in the South, where we have Alabama, the number one seed, going up against the fifth seeded San Diego State Aztecs, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Rusty, who do you like in this one?
I'm picking Alabama. You know, Alabama has been – they've been good almost all year. They've had two good games so far. It's a difficult pick for me because I'm wondering when are they going to slip up?
Mm-hmm.
And are they going to slip up against San Diego State, a team that they probably did not expect to meet in the third round?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they're going to slip up, but I'm picking Alabama, but with a little bit of a caveat. I'm just not so sure about this pick.
Yeah. What about you, Darren?
I agree completely. There is something about this that tugs me toward San Diego State as this upset that nobody sees coming. But when Alabama, like we talked about last week, man, when Alabama is rolling, goodness gracious, mm-hmm. Alabama is rolling. And it doesn't really matter who they get on the floor against. They're taking care of business. You do have to wonder, is there going to be a slip up when you play this many games in a row? But I just don't I just don't know that I can go that direction. I agree. I'm going to have to go with Alabama.
Yeah, I'm looking at Alabama as well. I'm going to bring in my resident Tennessee expert because he loves everything about Alabama. Are you going with
Alabama? As much as I hate to say it, yes, Alabama's got this. I don't think it'll be – I think they'll blow past San Diego State.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on down to Creighton, a Big East team, and Princeton. And so, Darren, who do you like in this one?
Well, first of all, let me say, of these four teams that we're talking about, Alabama, San Diego State, Creighton, and Princeton, going to what Rusty was talking about, only one of these four teams have ever been to the Final Four, and that was Princeton in 1965. So having that new blood, people looking at the possibility of getting into new, that's a really cool thing that's specifically about the South bracket. But that being said, I don't think this year is Princeton's year to repeat that 1965 performance. I'm not real sure what a pre-peat is, but we'll just say anyway. I think Creighton looked good against NC State, looked good against Baylor, and they're going to do the same thing against Princeton. Man, Princeton is a fantastic story at a 15 seed sitting here in the Sweet 16, but I think it comes to an end at Creighton's hand, and they advance.
Rusty, you got a rebuttal?
Ditto. Creighton was – they played Baylor hard.
Yeah.
They looked really good, I thought, playing against Baylor. And I think they're going to win this game.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Creighton. Brandon, you on board with that pick?
Yeah. Coach McDermott, veteran guy. I mean, he's been there, done that. So, I mean, I think he's going to have them ready for the Tigers for sure.
Well, let's move on to Florida Atlantic versus Tennessee. And I'm sitting here with this huge Tennessee fan. And I think you've already kind of told us who you think is going to win this game. And I think I'm going to side with you. I'm going to go with Rick Barnes and the Volunteers. Okay. Rusty, what do you think about this game?
I think I'm going to pick Tennessee for this game.
Hands in the air, total agreement.
Yeah, I think Tennessee should win this game. They've played well so far. I look for them to keep that up and take it to the next round.
Darren,
I'm gonna pick Tennessee. All right, moving on.
What was that? What'd you say?
Rhymes with Smennessee. Let's move on.
We've got another terrific matchup in Kansas State. A great story against Tom Izzo and Michigan State. And let's see. Let's start with you, Rusty. Who you got in this one?
You know, with the way Kansas State played against Kentucky and the way Michigan State played against Marquette, I picked Marquette to go a long way in this bracket. And they – I don't know if they were outplayed by Michigan State or if they just – laid a goose egg, but Michigan State played them well. Kansas State played pretty well against Kentucky, but I think I'm going to pick Michigan State to go past Kansas State here. And whiteboards, you know, better take a step back and maybe sit this game out.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Whiteboards, steer clear.
Darren, I'm sitting on pins and needles waiting for your pick.
I'm going Kansas State.
Oh, no.
I'm going Kansas State. I'm buying what they're selling. If nothing else, just to be consistent. Because even if you're wrong, at least be consistently wrong, right? So I'm going to be consistent, and I'm going Kansas State.
All right. I know how I'm leaning here. Who would you pick, Brandon?
I'd go ahead and go with Michigan State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got two reasons. Tom Izzo. Right.
Tournament Tom. That's it.
All right, let's move on over to another region where Houston is facing off the last remaining ACC team, Miami. Darren, who you got?
I'm going to continue with my anti-ACC bias. I'm going Houston. I think Houston, honestly, ACC or not, I think Houston has already had a little bit of inconsistency enough to kind of get their own attention. I think hopefully they won't have any health issues, any injuries crop up. I think they handled this one pretty easily, honestly. I think Houston wins this game.
What do you think, Rusty?
I would like to go back to the beginning of the season and put $20 on Miami being the last ACC team in the tournament.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness, who saw that? But kind of playing off of Darren, yeah, I think Houston's going to go forward and keep playing.
Yeah, I'm with Houston. Are you good with that pick, Brandon?
Yep.
All right. I wouldn't care if you weren't. I just thought I'd ask to be nice.
I was just being nice.
Let's move on down to what I think is I'm really anticipating this game. Xavier and Texas. Wow. This I think this is going to go down to the final seconds. Mm-hmm. So Darren, who you got in this one?
You know, Xavier is a team that I've had from the beginning as going a pretty good ways in this tournament and being a strong team. I mean, they're sitting here as a 3 seed. But, you know, at the same time, just like we've talked about, if there's any team that can be resilient and overcome no matter the circumstances, Texas has proven it over and over and over again. You know, you've got players, Dylan Dessou, who is kind of a small forward type for Texas, averaging 9 points a game coming into the tournament and then blew up for 28. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was a strong 28. It wasn't a lucked into it, just had a streaky night where everything he shot from three went in. It was a strong 28. And so they really make me doubt my pick that I had Xavier going through. But with all that being said, I still think Xavier is a strong team, and I'm going to still ride with Xavier. I'm going Xavier.
That is music to my ears. big X, Xavier going forward. Texas has overcome a lot.
Yeah.
I just think there's enough orange in this round. I don't think we need 25% of the Elite Eight being orange.
I got my hands in the air. Preach. Preach.
Texas is a stacked team. They've overcome a lot with the whole Chris Beard fiasco. Mm-hmm. They're good. They're gonna be in this game. But years ago, I remember a point guard at Pitt. He was one of the grittiest college players I ever saw. Statistically, he didn't blow anybody away, but his name was Sean Miller, and he played basketball with everything he had, and he coaches the same way. I think he's going to have Xavier ready for this game, and so I'm going to roll the dice with Sean Miller and Xavier.
That was the kiss of death. Texas is going to win this game.
And Texas wins by 30. That's what we're talking about next week. All three of us picked them.
Are you okay with that pick? Or are you going to pick
them? I stand with the real UT in the best shade of orange.
Well done.
No, that was just a yes or no question. You're not actually part of this podcast.
It was so well done. I can't even fight it.
Well, that takes us down to Arkansas, my goodness, facing UConn. I'm going to tell y'all the Arkansas-Kansas game. I watched this with my mother-in-law, who's a huge Arkansas fan, and she was having a hard time. I mean, she had to go take her blood pressure pill because her cheeks were getting so red. Wow, what a huge win for the Razorbacks, and they earn a date with one of Rusty's favorite teams, UConn, led by Dan Hurley. We have two very colorful coaches, Eric Musselman, Dan Hurley, coaching against each other in this game. So, you know, I know Rusty's going to have a really great analysis here. So, Brandon and I are going to make our pick. Then Darren, and I want to save – I can't wait to hear what Rusty says, but I know we're not going to top it. So, I'm going to go with the Razorbacks here because I'm presently in a house with my mother-in-law, and if I say anything else, I might – you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wise man.
Did you just say Wu Pig?
Yeah, I did. Yikes, that didn't sound right.
You are such a This is why she likes you better than me.
That's hilarious. Well, you know, there's something to be said for Eric Musselman in Arkansas and kind of the streak that they're on. This is our third consecutive Sweet 16. You got to love his vigor and his personality. If he continues on this path to taking off clothes every time they win, at some point it'll turn into a Ray Stevens song. But I hate to see that happen. And Rusty, you said earlier that I was music to your ears. I'm very, very sorry. The music's about to end. I think UConn's going to win this game. I think they beat Arkansas. I think Arkansas has been on a streak, but I don't know. There's just something. They cave sometimes under pressure. If you look through their season and the way they reacted to things sometimes, and I think this is very much a pressure situation. I don't think they win this. I think UConn. Hurley gets tossed, UConn plays better, and UConn wins. How's that? Is that-
So I love Musselman's,
mm-hmm.
His energy, his personality. I mean, the guy, how do you not root for this guy? Yeah. Like, even if you're not an Arkansas fan, how do you not root for this guy? He's just so fun to watch. And how... Like, his wife was on the sidelines egging him on to take his shirt off after the game, after their second round win. Like, just like they're fun to watch. Dan Hurley is not fun to watch. But I said last week, there was one team that Villanova, that I as a Villanova mm-hmm. fan, had circled on my calendar. It wasn't Marquette. It wasn't any of these other schools that were playing well. It was UConn, because UConn is so – when they are on, they are so dominant. Mm-hmm. And they have played a really strong game so far. So I'm actually picking with some bile in the back of my throat. I'm picking UConn to beat Arkansas in this game too. And again, Hurley gets tossed. He watches the game, drinking a $17 beer with some students, and they win anyway, or they win because of him being off the sidelines.
Yeah. Students over the age of 21.
Yes, of course, that's right. Of course.
All right, I know that had to be very painful for you, Rusty.
It was, but yeah, I'll make it through.
I think we're all facing our demons. Darren picked Tennessee. Rusty picked UConn. So. Well, that leaves us with one more game to pick, and that's Gonzaga against UCLA. And Rusty, you want to kick us off here? Who do you like in this game?
So, you know, I think I mentioned this last week. You know, I love the Gonzaga fan energy. That they are always so willing to share the strengths and the weaknesses of their teams, and they're always willing to show how they have been maybe mistreated from time to time in the national spotlight. And again, I will say, you know, take all of those things and put them up there with your national championship trophies. I think UCLA wins and prevents Gonzaga from moving into the Elite Eight.
Wow.
By the way, how long has, what is his name, Tiger, how many years has he been at UCLA?
Are you talking about Bob Marley?
Yeah.
The guy that looks like Bob Marley?
Yeah.
I don't been there for... Give him more eligibility. Give him more eligibility.
He's been there almost as long as the one guy was at Memphis, had like a guy that was like 26. He was literally playing on the floor with guys who started middle school when he was in college.
He's fun to watch, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's been there a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Darren?
This one's hard. I'm a firm believer in everything that UCLA is doing. I'm a firm believer in what Gonzaga looks like right now and the strength of that team. I really want to pick UCLA just to see that story. But I just have a gut that Gonzaga is going to rise to the occasion. I honestly think if Gonzaga was playing like Boise State, they'd probably have a better chance to lose. I think they would take it for granted and Boise State would slip up on them. I think they're going to rise to the occasion and Gonzaga is going to win this one.
Yeah, it's a tough game to call. I really like the job that Mick Cronin has done at UCLA. I like this team. They're experienced. They're battle-tested. I mean, we could argue the same for Gonzaga. I don't know if Gonzaga is going to come into this game with a chip on their shoulder. UCLA hasn't exactly dominated college basketball the last 20 years, but they do have quite a history and a legacy. I'm going to go with the ghost of UCLA's past rising up, John Wooden on the sidelines, inspiring Mick Cronin, and the Bruins come out with a big win here. What do you think about that?
Yeah, this is honestly probably my favorite, well, besides Tennessee, but my favorite game of the round.
Definitely,
it's going to be very interesting. I think it'll be a close game, and I've picked the Bruins. What I've been thinking about it this whole time, but I've been back and forth. But yeah, UCLA.
But what do you think about my analysis? Didn't I wax poetic? Weren't you impressed by that?
That was good. That was good. Yeah.
Definitely poetic waxing
there. I could see the ghost of Jordan on the bench. And, yeah. Saggy earlobes.
Whoa. You're out of here. Don't insult the greatest college basketball coach of all time. Well, guys, what have we not covered? Who have we not insulted? What fan bases have we failed to alienate tonight?
Today? I think we've done pretty well.
I think I hit Alabama hard enough last time. So
yeah, that's true. It's a good point.
I couldn't live myself if Alabama wins the national championship. Oh man, could you imagine that fan base?
No.
Oh man,
no, I can't. I'm just thankfully, if Alabama does end up winning the national championship, at least Georgia won the football national championship. Can you imagine if they had both in the same year?
Yeah, I do.
What it would be like. No.
I hope that doesn't happen because I'd like to see you stay around.
Right.
All right, moving on to the Elite Eight, where we have some really exciting potential matchups because we don't know who's going to be in the Elite Eight. And among us on the show, we are in disagreement over some of these, but we're going to give this a shot. We all picked Alabama to advance along with Creighton. So a matchup against Alabama from the SEC, Creighton from the Big East. Rusty, you're the Villanova guy. You're the Big East apologist. Are you going with Creighton in this game? What do you think?
I think Alabama's going to slip up. I think Creighton's going to be there. They're going to stand up tall. They're going to be big. I think they're going to be there to show. And they're gonna prevent Alabama from taking its first ever basketball championship.
What do you think, Darren?
I think it's going to be a fun game. Like Brandon was talking about with Gonzaga and UCLA, I think if this ends up being the matchup Alabama Creighton, I think it'll be a very exciting game to watch. But I also think if Alabama is on that kind of a roll that they're in the Elite Eight, I think they can keep rolling. I think Alabama wins and heads to the Final Four.
All right. Well, that leaves us, Brandon. I like the thought of Creighton winning this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes it a great, great story.
It would, but it's not going to happen. Alabama. I mean, once they get, rolling or whatever, they're hard to stop, so.
Now, you just said you wouldn't be able to take it if Alabama won.
I know, but just for pick's sake, I mean, it's hard to go against them, unfortunately.
You know, there's no money involved in getting the picks right.
Oh, there's not? Well, then go Blue Jays.
Yeah, I'm going to, wow. I think Rusty, you might be onto something. This is a game where Alabama could look and say, who's Creighton, you know, and totally slip up in this game, not realizing how good Creighton is. Oh goodness. Yeah. Why not? I'm gonna go with Creighton, because once Alabama gets knocked out of the tournament, we can start talking about football, which means we can start reminding the Alabama fans that LSU beat them this last year.
So well done. Jays.
All right, let's move down to Tennessee, and well, two of us said Michigan State. Darren, you said K-State. So how are we looking at this game? Brandon, you're the big Tennessee guy. Are they going to be able to overcome Tom Izzo's magic?
Wow. I've got very strong feelings about this one. Tennessee's had a great season, but I think it probably comes to an end against the Spartans, unfortunately. That's hard to say, but Michigan State in the tournament is a juggernaut, so they're experienced. Tom Izzo is for sure, but man, I think Michigan State will probably win. Yikes!
Don't be too sad. You look good in green.
Oh no, never.
what do you think, Russ or Darren?
I can't believe I'm about to say this out loud. I think if you look at the matchup of Tennessee, Kansas State, I think Tennessee wins it.
Yeah, against Kansas State.
I think Tennessee beats Kansas State and makes it to the final. You're going to have to excuse me for a minute. Yeah, I've said all I can say. I don't. Rusty, please go ahead. Go ahead, Rusty.
Well, you know, I feel kind of I'm questioning myself here. I picked Tennessee to beat Michigan State, and the guest in orange here is right. Picked against
I know.
Him.
The guy wearing the star V and the Big East guy picked Tennessee. The world is upside down. I don't even know how to act.
Hey, fellas. I'm deviating from Brandon's pick. I'm going to go with Rick Barnes in Tennessee.
Nice.
So the only guy that picked Tennessee to lose
is the Tennessee guy.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I'm just,
he is. He is moving to West Virginia, and that's probably a good. Know. It's a good thing after this pick.
You're getting out just in time. Yeah.
Well, let's move over to. Potentially great matchup, Houston and Xavier.
Woo!
So, Rusty, Big East apologist, are you sticking with Xavier here? What do you think?
You know, Phi Slamma Jamma sounds really good. Of course, they're not going to bring it. They can't bring it back. But Houston's a good team. Houston's a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Miller's a very good coach. Xavier has got a they look like they're playing some of their best basketball of the year right now. I'm picking Xavier to push past closely, but to push past Houston to make it to the Final Four.
There,
I think when you compare Sean Miller and Ralph Sampson, no, I'm just kidding. I think, Rusty, the point you made that made me go just to keep on the Xavier, the X train, it seems that Xavier is playing their best ball at the exact right time. And I think they're going to continue on through Houston. I think it's going to be a fun game, a very fast-paced game to watch, exciting to watch. But I think Xavier wins it.
Yeah, I think Sean Miller, I'd give him the nod in the coaching matchup. The question for me is that Houston plays like a team from the 80s, back when fouls looked much different than they do today, back where you could slug a guy and it might not get called. And that's Houston's style. They're big, they're physical, They bank on being able to intimidate their opponents, out-tough their opponents. The question for me is, can Xavier rise up to the challenge of that? And I think it's going to be a good game, but, you know, I pick Houston. I'm going to stick with Houston here in this one. So let's move down. What do you think, Brandon? Was that a good pick?
Well, yeah. It kind of reminds me of the Tennessee-Duke matchup. I mean, Tennessee just out-muscled them, and I think Houston will probably do the same thing to Xavier.
Okay. So that takes us down to a matchup where we were split. I picked Arkansas, and you did. Brandon and I picked Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Rusty and Darren, you picked UConn to face. Oh boy, this is getting confusing. We all picked UCLA, except Darren, you picked Gonzaga. So let's just go with this. Rusty, who's from all of this mess, who is going to the Elite Eight?
So I had UCLA and UConn playing in this game, and yeah, kind of like Xavier, UConn's playing some really good ball right now. It's not my favorite thing to say. Am I Big East heavy in my Final Four? Do I have three Big East teams in my Final Four? Yes. I'm picking UConn to go. I'm not sure. I haven't watched UCLA play a whole lot of basketball, so I can't comment a whole lot about them. But if UConn is ready for this game, I'm not sure that UCLA will be able to stay with them.
Darren?
Well, first of all, in all of your descriptions of the Houston and how Houston played and in the parallel with Tennessee, all I heard was Houston and Tennessee play the dirtiest of any of the other teams in the bracket. I'm just saying what I heard. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, just saying what I heard. But, you know, everything, for whatever reason, I really, really, really want to pick Gonzaga, but I can't. And it weirds me out even more that when you look at my Final Four, I've got all SEC on one side and all Big East on the other side. So that makes me even more unconfident. But for whatever reason, I just don't buy Gonzaga pushing it to the Final Four. And I think UConn is the one that's standing in their way. I think UConn wins.
I've got UCLA going, winning this game. Any thoughts you have?
I like UConn.
All right, you can leave now.
You went against his pick one too many times. You were right there on the edge, and you just pushed like right.
Well, judging from the tournament up to this point, whatever happens in these games, we're all going to have a lot of fun. We love basketball, and these are going to be some terrific games. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for listening to these picks, and enjoy watching the games. Now, before we sign off, Darren has an update on the standings for our own podcast, NCAA Tournament Bracket Challenge. So, Darren, give us an update on who's leading this.
We have awesome, first of all, to have as many people involved as we do. And we'll do, I guess, the top 10 and C. Perky 7 is in first place. Paul's Picks in second place. Indefinite Articles Rule, wonder who that is, in third place. Country Roads tied for third with Indefinite Articles Rule. Lenardi's Spirit Animal in fifth. Jay Wright Is My Hero, wonder who that is, in sixth. Pape's Picks in seventh. And I'd just like to, again, we've talked about the ACC bias. I have a very Pape's Picks bias in this. He's beat us all long enough. I'm glad to see him in seventh place. Wouldn't surprise me if he ended up winning it. But anyway, he's beat us all long enough in all the picks games. Golf on the Hardwood in eighth. C. Perky 7. The first one was C. Perky 7-11 in ninth. And then Hostage Sports Fan in 10th. So a good group. Awesome to have as many people playing as we have. And it's awesome that the picks have been all over the place. Let's see, just real quick. We have Houston, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas. We had a Marquette. We had a Purdue. So even our national championship picks were all over the place in the bracket competition. So it's been a fun thing to watch and keep up with, and we're excited to have as many people play it as have.
Yeah, it's been a great year, a great tournament. Thanks for joining us on this ride. I want to thank our special guest, Brandon, for joining us tonight, even though his analysis was way off base, which is why he's probably not a regular guest on this podcast. Also, want to thank the Villanova guy, Rusty, for not just advocating for the Big East, but advocating for college basketball. I love that you're passionate about college basketball. Thanks for, mm-hmm. for joining us, and we will see you next week.
Yep.
It sounds good to me.
This is the second year in a row we've said to Rusty, hey, why don't you join us 1 week? And 3 weeks later.
That's how we roll. Once we get them on, we are. And thank you for listening, all of you listening out there. Remember, new episodes drop every Tuesday at 6 a.m. You can listen at whatever time's convenient for you and on whatever podcast platform you choose to listen. When you listen to us, please give us a rating. Please share. Let other people know about the show. We appreciate you so much. And until next Tuesday, y'all take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line, 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast. See you next week.